Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us again for another edition of our Gnostic Bridge radio show. I'm Vinette Edge, and tonight we are going to be talking about Quantum Secrets to Success. Our dear Magus, Richard Bullock, is going to be discussing how we can use our tools, our mind, our emotions, and our language to create the reality that we live in. I'm interested to see where this is going to go because I've been having some funny things happen to me lately with certain rituals that I've done, and so I'd like to see how Magus is going to expand upon that. We are going to also learn how to discover the power of a positive self-image, the science of a mind, of the mind, and how to create prosperity with it, and power-based relationships and holistic health. These are some of the things that we're going to dissect tonight, and we're going to do that with Magus. Magus, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. We have an interesting show tonight. I can't wait to hear where this discussion is going to go at. How you been doing this week so far?
It's been a tremendous week, and I mean, absolutely magical. And so this past Sunday at the House of Gnosis here in Time of Arkansas, we had a speaker or a facilitator who came and talked to us about the law of attraction and neuro-linguistic programming. And we had a great interaction, informative and inspirational conversation with Alvino Smith. He's a law of attraction life coach, and he is a very profound and powerful man whose testimony and experience I hope people will tune into and listen to. But I just want to share with the audience today what we gleaned from his lecture this past Sunday at the House of Gnosis on the law of attraction and neuro-linguistic programming. So that's going to be the conversation tonight, and we definitely want it to be interactive. It will be inspirational and informative. And so that's going to be our focus tonight, Quantum Secrets to Success, the Law of Attraction, and NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Program.
All right, then. So you're going to break down what all that means, right? Because I've touched on before neuro-linguistic programming, but I've never really, like, researched it or used it a whole lot. I could already be doing it and just not realize that's what I'm doing. So I look forward to hearing more about that as well. So let's go ahead and kick it off then. Let's go ahead and open up with prayer as we usually do, and let's start talking about the law of attraction and neuro-linguistic programming to see how we can uncover the quantum secrets to success.
Okay, what I want you to do as a surrogate for the audience who's listening, Vinette, I want you to repeat after me this affirmation. Okay?
Okay.
From the light of God that we are.
From the light of God that we are.
From the love of God that we are.
From the love of God that we are.
From the power of God that we are.
From the power of God that we are.
From the heart of God that we are.
From the heart of God that we are.
Let's decree.
Let's decree.
We dwell in the midst of infinite abundance.
We dwell in the midst of infinite abundance.
The abundance of God is our infinite source.
The abundance of God is our infinite source.
The river of life never stops flowing.
The river of life never stops flowing.
It flows through us into lavish expression.
It flows through us to lavish expression.
Good comes to us.
This comes to us.
Through unexpected avenues.
Through unexpected avenues.
And God works in a myriad of ways.
And God works in a myriad of ways.
To bless us.
To bless us.
We now open our minds.
We now open our minds.
To receive our good.
To receive our good.
Nothing is too good to be true.
Nothing is too good to be true.
Nothing is too wonderful to have happened.
Nothing is too wonderful to have happened.
With God as our source.
With God as our source.
Nothing amazes us.
Nothing amazes us.
We are not burdened by thoughts of past or future.
We are not burdened by thoughts of past or future.
One is gone.
One is gone.
The other is yet to come.
The other is yet to come.
By the power of our belief.
By the power of our belief.
Coupled with our purposeful, fearless action.
Coupled with our purposeful, fearless action.
And our deep rapport with God.
And our deep rapport with God.
Our future is created.
Our future is created.
And our abundance made manifest.
And our abundance made manifest.
We ask and accept.
We ask and accept.
That we are lifted in this.
That we are lifted in this.
And every moment into higher truth.
And every moment into higher truth.
Our minds are quiet.
Our minds are quiet.
From this day forward, we give freely.
From this day forward, we give freely.
And fearlessly into life.
And fearlessly into life.
And life gives back to us.
And life gives back to us.
With magnificent increase.
With magnificent increase.
Blessings come in expected and unexpected ways.
Blessings come in expected and unexpected ways.
God provides for us in wondrous ways.
God provides for us in wondrous ways.
For the work that we do.
For the work that we do.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
Say it with your chest, Vinette. I am.
I am.
Indeed grateful.
Indeed grateful. Namaste.
All right.
Oh, that was great. You could really, I could visualize that each little phrase. I could visualize it.
Well, let me tell you a little secret.
I'm listening.
Every time that I have spoken this affirmation, I have received a monetary blessing from the source.
It's a powerful thing. It must
Absolutely.
Be what you spoke this week, huh? With the miracles you said, these experiences.
I've been saying this for a month, maybe longer.
Wow.
It's a very powerful affirmation. As a matter of fact, I want, let me give you two more affirmations I want you to say with me. These are shorter.
Okay.
I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life.
Another day in my life.
I am money.
I am money.
Say it with your chest. I am money.
I am money.
I want to dedicate this program to the memory and the teaching and the absolute genius of Reverend Ike. That's what we did Sunday. We had this discussion with Albino Smith. You can find him on Facebook. He's a law of attraction life coach. And we dedicated this conversation on this past Sunday. That's what we do at the House of Gnosis. We just don't preach at people or talk at people, because we're not a church. We're not trying to do the church thing, not trying to convert anybody, not trying to convince anybody for that matter. What we're doing, we are speaking our Gnostic expression. We are sharing our insights, our self-revelations about who we are, what we are. We're growing, we're evolving. And so that's what we're doing. And so we had this great conversation about the law of attraction. I'm sure you and many in the audience have heard of The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. It was a blockbuster. It went viral before it actually became known in bookstores. The book, it went viral on the internet, and it became such a blockbuster DVD movie documentary featuring some of the great law of attraction representatives today, people such as Bob Proctor, what's the Reverend name, Michael Beckwith, and others like that on that frequency, and they broke down the law of attraction. And Mike Dooley said it this way: the law of attraction can be broken down into three words. Thoughts become things. Thoughts become things. The law of attraction is that like attracts like. And when we begin to learn the principles or the process of the law of attraction, such as ask, believe, receive, it's like going to a catalog that the universe has and picking out what you want. I know that sounds a little far-fetched, and we want to talk about that tonight. How is that possible? Is that really true? When I first saw The Secret DVD, I was blown away. At that time, I was pastoring a church here in Pine Bluff, and I was on my own journey to another level of understanding God, angels, reality, quantum physics, and I had to share it with the congregation. As a matter of fact, I took them through what was called a 40-day mind fast soul feast. I took them through a 40-day mind fast soul feast. And what that meant was, for 40 days, the people who signed up for that class, that discipleship process that I want to take them through, what we did was we did a 40-day fast. We ate raw food, or we took a vegetarian, non-meat-based diet. We took on a plant-based diet. We detoxed ourselves from reading worthless junk mail through our internet connection. We did not do television, and it was a challenge for me because it was in May at that time. I think it was May 2007, I believe it was. And as you know, the NBA is playing at that time. And the French Open tennis. And I was, you know, I am a big tennis aficionado, and so I could not watch NBA playoffs, and I could not watch the French Open. And so we had no television, didn't watch any news. And that was an amazing experience, watching no news, no television, no radio. And what we did was I assigned certain books to read, books like You Can Have It All. We watched certain DVDs by Phil Valentine and obviously Bobby Hemmett. And we watched The Secret, and we watched What the Bleep Do We Know? And so I had a 40-day program of conversations where we talked to one another. We people met from house to house. They had partners that they would have discussions about religion, about relationships, about science, and they watched certain videos together. It was an amazing experience, and it was life-changing for many people. We've done it again since then. It was life-changing just to break the monotony of the programming of the magazines we read, the television programs we are programmed by, conditioned by. We actually had to learn how to deal with silence and quiet, you know, and even each other. People had to learn how to talk to. Husbands had to learn how to talk to wives, and wives to husbands. And it was an amazing experience. And then talk to them about consciousness and reading, exploring deep concepts that you normally don't look at, creating time with each other. 40 days, 40 nights, mind fast, soul feast. Doing sun rituals. We did that back in 2007, 2008. And so it was an amazing time. So we watched The Secret. And I know many people are also familiar with Tony Robbins, Unlimited Wealth, the author of Unlimited Wealth. And he also is a great proponent of neuro-linguistic programming. And so if you have been exposed to those type of teachers and that type of material, you're very familiar with exploring what we're going to do today, exploring the law of attraction as well as neuro-linguistic programming. One of the things I really want to do also, I want to talk about the Bible and some of the principles there for wealth, for developing wealth consciousness. So those are the things that we want to talk about. I know many people who are raised in fundamentalist religion, they didn't take to The Secret, or they definitely do not take to the Gnostic Christ that I share, or Christ consciousness, or Buddha consciousness, or what's called by some Zorba consciousness of my good friend Tom Osiris Gibson. And but this is what we've been talking about. This is what we do. I have my own personal experience with the House of Gnosis today, is that we have encouraged people to get angelic talismans, and we'll talk about that a little bit more today. We talked about talismans, period, like the Goddess Fortuna, Easy Wealth, Luck talisman. And today we'll understand why those talismans, working with the angels, are so important. We brought that out this past Sunday, so we're going to deal with that today. But the big thing is that I really want people to go back and go into the archives, and I want them to reconnect with Reverend Ike. Down south, Reverend Ike, I don't know how it was on the East Coast and the Northeast, but down south, Reverend Ike got a bad rap. People viewed him as a charlatan. They viewed him as a person who was teaching something contrary to the Bible, but he was really ahead of his time. And when I go back now, as I have evolved and developed, I listen to some of his tapes and some of his teaching. I'm absolutely blown away, because many of the things that I say today, that I teach today, as I, you know, deal with people, counsel people, in all facets of life, particularly in my Making Money Magic class, I go back and I listen to Reverend Ike, and I'm amazed at things that I thought were just revolutionary and brand new. He had already spoken, you know. Example, for me, Christ consciousness is wealth consciousness. And Reverend Ike had already broke down the idea of this phrase, this affirmation, I am money. And he was an apostle of the type of psychology of self-image. And he makes very clear that how you see yourself will become a reflection of how you relate to money, health, abundance, life. As an apostle of the psychology of positive self-image, he actually was helping people to understand that the way that they understand God as an external force is actually limiting them in their ability to attract and to know how to relate to money. And he advocates what many of us in the Gnostic tradition say very clearly today, unashamedly today, that God is within you. Ye are God. And when we begin to deeply overstand that statement, we actually begin to attract into our lives the correspondent lifestyle that comes with that divine life affirmation. So I just want to encourage people to Google or to go to YouTube and just put in Reverend Ike and listen to his sermon. One of the most profound sermons find on YouTube that is spoken by Reverend Ike is when he talks about I am, and he says, I am, not me. He says the I am, which in the Bible appears as Adonai or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the four-letter name of God. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh means God. I am means God. And whatever you put behind the word I am, you become. Whatever you put behind the word I am, you become. And the third commandment says, you shall not take the name, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, I am, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So what that means is that when you put behind I am, when you speak that and you say I am, whatever you put behind the word I am, if it is not consistent, that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful, you have just taken the name of God in vain. Now, here's a little interesting method you can do. If you get a chance to look at the Hebrew letters, which are the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God, the Yod, He, Vav, He, those are letters that are read from right to left in the Hebrew, and you make them vertical. You put the symbols in a vertical shape, like the Chinese script and the Japanese script are done. The Yod, He, Vav, He in a vertical stance looks like the image of a man. And this brings substance to the idea when you read in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, Psalms 82, verse 6, and the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 34, it is declared, and these words are put in the mouth of the biblical Jesus, ye are God. So God is within, absolutely. God is within. God is within. Ye are God. So what Reverend Ike was teaching is that when you begin to understand and align your self-image with the image, with the true image of the divine being, that you are it, at the deeper quantum level, that you are energy, you are spirit. You're a divine spirit. You're born with a divine spirit. When we begin to match that vibration, and if we speak that of ourselves according to who we are and how we understand the God within, take on that consciousness, but more importantly, become that, we have what is what I would call a be-do-have self-image. Be the God that you are. Do the God, do God things. You will begin to manifest and create the life that you want. That is absolutely revolutionary. And for him to say it back in the 70s and the early 80s, I can just imagine how it was just rocking the religious world. And today, many of us today who have come to this understanding, who never knew Reverend Ike in a personal sense or in a professional sense, we owe him a debt of gratitude for the boldness. He's no longer with us now. He's an ancestor now. But we owe him a great debt of gratitude for the boldness that he had, the courage that he had to speak his truth. And we encourage you to do that and everything. But let's get into it, and let's talk about the laws of attraction. Let's talk about the neuro-linguistic programming. The fact is that our addiction to lack, our addiction to a poverty state of consciousness is built on certain mental blocks, certain mental self-sabotaging, actually their spiritual lies, their deceptions that we have been fed. Everybody has their own. We get it from our culture. We get it from parents. We get it in through television, society, that, you know, wealth or money grows on trees. And it's meant the fact to say that, but money does not grow on trees, they say, and that it's difficult to obtain. So we have to work hard to make money. So the idea that money is associated with hard work and slavery. Money is, drudgery of work, you know. And what we don't truly understand is that that puts, when we associate money with negativity, when we associate money with something that's very difficult, when people have money, we look at them and say, what did they do to get that money? They must have done something illegal because it's not easy to make money. Oftentimes we have a very negative view of money, of mammon. There's a scripture in the Bible that I will refer to as often used. It's found in Matthew chapter, I think that's chapter 6. And it tells us, it says, no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, people tend to believe that verse teaches that people who have money, people who want to be rich, people who focus in on money are doing something ungodly. They're doing something that they should not be doing because you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is understood to be money. Well, those are some of the mental blocks that are taught many times in our culture about that. Another mental block is the idea that money is evil. People will quote 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe it is, verse 10. They will say, money is evil. And we've heard songs by the OJs, for the love of money, people will sell their own precious body. And we do see that body where people will do anything to get money. People are chasing money. They are chasing be-all and end-all to everything. So one of the things that Reverend Ike is noted to have said, and he comes along in a very profound way, and he says, it's the lack of money that's the root of all evil, the lack of money. And so what he's doing is trying to recondition us to lose our fear and our dislike of money. Now, when I go back and I look at the phrase in Matthew 6, and it juxtaposed God and mammon. That and many of the brethren of the cloth will go on a rant. What I find most unfortunate in how that is interpreted is how the juxtaposition of God versus money or God versus mammon actually is nothing more than the patriarchy waging war against the goddess. We have to understand that in the formation of fundamentalist religion, be it Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, it has a history of attacking the African-centered, goddess-centered, matriarchy-centered spiritual system. One of the ways in which the patriarchy that is very strong coming from a Eurocentric state of mind is that in attacking those darker skinned people who had a spiritual system that was that's based upon correlation, the equality, and yet it had diversity between the male principle and the female principle, they had the concept of the goddess in union with the god. So you have the male god, the female goddess, the masculine divine, and the feminine divine. So in other words, spirit manifests itself as God the Father and God the Mother. In other words, whether it was expressed in a monotheistic or a polytheistic frame of reference, the early societies recognized that God was as much feminine as God was masculine. Well, one of the things that the conquering nations did of those ancient spiritual systems when they came into those countries and invaded them, not only did they rob them of their wealth and they took over their burned their temples, destroyed their temples, and even burnt their libraries. They did confiscate a lot of their books, but they also destroyed and killed the teachers, the griots, the ones who kept the traditions, who understood the science, the spiritual science. They killed them, and they took the young people and began to teach them out of the knowledge of the goddess. And many of the goddesses were turned into demons. Mammon was one of those goddesses that was turned into a demon. Now, if you look at the word mammon is connected to mammalian, mamita, where we get the mammalian gland, which is a part of the physiology of a woman. They understood that the ancient spiritual scientists understood that the woman, or God as the God mother, was the source. She's the source. She's the the whole, if you will, the world. She is the zero. She is the womb of creation. If you really read the Bible carefully, you will find that they had to hide the goddess. The Yahweh had a goddess. It's even spoken about in the Old Testament. Discoveries have come forth archaeologically to show that the ancient Hebrews, who were nothing more, the Hebrews were nothing more than a Harabu or the Heru people who moved out of, and they had a dual system of God as masculine, God as feminine. It's in the Bible. And the people had a relationship with the Queen of Heaven, Asherah, or Ishtar. That's actually in the scriptures, but it's hidden. Okay? And so, and when you read Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 46, around verse 16 to verse 19, when you begin to read that passage, what you understand, the people told the Yahwehists, the ones that were trying to destroy the goddess tradition, that they're not going to dismiss the Queen of Heaven, the Ishtar or Asherah. They're not going to stop doing the ritual to appeal to her, because when they did, they had prosperity. So having the goddess and understanding the importance of women was key to having prosperity, because women were the source of productivity, prosperity, and fertility. So when we go back and look at that passage where it says, no man can serve two gods, you got to serve God or you got to serve mammon, that is a misinterpretation, and it's a mistranslation, I believe, that Eurocentric and fundamentalist Christians and others were trying to cast dispersion on the God Mother, the goddess. Truth of the matter is, what the verse is trying to tell us is that ye are God, and you're not supposed to be chasing mammon. You're not supposed to be chasing money. When you learn that money is a spirit and it's a divine feminine spirit, you have to relate to her like you would to any woman, with dignity, with honor, and she will follow you. Oftentimes when I teach this, I teach it with a story that I learned from Deepak Chopra. He said there was this young student of a master, and he asked the master, "Master, how do I become wealthy? How do I achieve my financial goal?" And the master said there were two women. One was the goddess Saravasti, the goddess of wisdom and knowledge, and the other was the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of abundance, prosperity, and wealth. He said, go after Saravasti, and you will make Lakshmi jealous, and she will follow you for your attention. And in that, we learn a very profound story. When you put consciousness, divine consciousness, first, money will follow you. This is why the wise teachers taught, in all your getting, get an understanding. In all your getting, get wisdom. And wisdom will the pursuit of wisdom, seek ye first the inner kingdom seek ye first the kingdom of God which is within, and all these things shall be added. They'll come to you when you seek it first. So it's a matter of understanding that you're not supposed to be chasing money. Money should be chasing you. That's the law of attraction teaching us. That's the law of attraction. So we have to reprogram our wealth consciousness. So as I'm speaking on this, I want people to begin to put together your questions, put together some of your concepts and ideas and your response to this, because, yes, I want for us to walk in abundance. I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let me say this. There are three levels of money. There are three levels of money consciousness, wealth consciousness. There is what we call physical money. There is what we call psychic money. And there's what we call pneumatic money. Actually, there's a fourth level, but that's for those who take the class of making money magic. I'll teach the fourth level on that. But we're going to work with these three levels. This is a way of encouraging you to take the class of making money magic. If you want to take that class, you just simply go to gnosismatters.com to the teaching product section, and you sign up for it as an individual. If you have a group of five or more people, I will come to your place and we can do, or we can do it over the phone, over a conference, we can do it over the phone, and we can do a session on that, and it'd be real good. I've done it before, and we can make it happen again, and you just sign up for it. But we're going to talk about three levels of money. The physical level of money is what it is. It's coins and dollar bills or yen and rubles, other things like that. That's the physical level of money. The problem that people have is not money. It is that identifying themselves according to how much they have of the physical money. Now, we should know that the physical money is not backed by any substance. It's backed by the blood, sweat, and tears of our spirit. That should give you a hint that the pneumatic level of money is you. You are money. You are money. Your spirit is money. The Bible says very clearly, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues of life. So your heart, your spirit, your soul is, or the psychic money, is money. The most valuable tool that we have, which is what is taught in the Making Money Magic, is to understand the higher level of money, which is you. You are money. I often tell many people who are in the Afro-American community to understand that while we spend a lot of time looking for jobs, we are a job creating. If you look at many of the major industries, and it's not just for Afro-Americans, it's for anybody who understands their spiritual identity, their soul capacity. That is the source through which you create physical money. And in the Making Money Magic class, I teach people how to do that. So when you tap into the knowledge of your divine self, when you learn how to channel and work with the angels, at the psychic level, you expand your psychic, means soul. When you begin to expand and evolve your soul, you are actually increasing the flow of money from your spirit through your soul into the physical world. This is what Reverend Ike talked about. You have to take on a be, do, have mentality. Be, do, have. Be money. Do the process evolve, the mental work, ideas that bring money, and then have manifest it in your life. But people have lost that because we have been programmed into deficiency mentality, into deficiency. And as my friend spoke this past Sunday, he spoke about the law of sufficiency and abundance and the law of deliberate creation. Let me explain what that means in the context of what we just spoke about, the three levels of money. The law of sufficiency and abundance means that
we live in a world, a universe of mutual support, a world of mutual support. Our universe functions as a mutual support system in which each and everything in existence relates to and affects every other thing. Every person and circumstance in our lives is there to support us by reflecting back to us the present state of our consciousness. Despite the belief that we are naturally competitive and adversarial, we always have the choice to create environments that are harmonious, nurturing, and mutually supportive. I want you to understand that we have enough. Abundance is the natural state of the universe. We do not live in a deficient, and lacking world. There is more than enough for everybody in this world to have their needs met. In other words, and said another way, another person's success is not robbing you of your success. There is enough energy, there's enough light, there's enough love, there's enough luck, there's enough of everything for everyone on the planet. The reason why we have pockets of poverty is because it is created by men. It's created by people who are operating on limited consciousness, who are operating on limited wealth consciousness. The law of sufficiency and abundance says there is no lack. Lack is an illusion. It is a lie when we say we do not have enough. One of the things that I teach myself, I have to remind myself, is to look at things through a different set of eyes. To understand the world I live in is a reflection of how I'm looking at the world. What I focus on expands. This is what I call or have been taught to look at it from the standpoint of the mirror principle. Everything that we see and feel is a reflection of our own state of consciousness. Every person we attract into our lives is showing us some aspect of whom we are. Every feeling expressed by another mirrors a feeling deep within us. This reflection is actually a gift, for it allows us to be aware of the beliefs we hold. So to a large extent, when you look at the life around you, the life that we are experiencing, it is actually a mirror reflecting back to us the level of consciousness, the level of maturity, spiritual maturity, that we are on. And therefore, it gives us the opportunity to reclaim our power by looking at how we are investing in beliefs that are foreign, beliefs that are false, beliefs that are illusionary. One, in terms of quantum physics, one of the great observations that some of the quantum physicists of the early 20th century, Heisenberg, Niels Bohr, and others made was the observer effect. What happened is that they discovered that when they went quantum and they looked at electrons, first of all, they looked at matter, and they shot some marbles into a board through that had a couple of slits in it. It was called the double slit experiment. When they shot marbles, things, solid things. Went through the slits, those marbles would line up according to how it looked. And so, but when they went quantum, they went into, they looked at photons of light, and they shot the same thing. And it, while they were measuring it, they it formed a pattern that reflected the nature of the slit in the sheet that they were shooting the electrons through. But when they cut the measuring or the camera on, the electrons acted differently. In other words, when they were measuring the electrons and watching them, they acted one way. And when they did not look at them, they created an interference pattern. They looked at it differently. And what we begin to understand is that at the quantum level, where there was nothing but energy, it acted as a wave and a particle. It acted as a solid thing and a thing that was intangible, not solid. How can that be? When it was looked at as a particle, when it wasn't being looked at, it acted as a wave. And what they discovered was that these photons were conscious. They knew when they were being looked at. Now, when you think about a photon of light, that sounds a lot like it was acting like a being. From a religious standpoint, that sounds like an angel. Those angels are beings of light. The theologians of a long time ago used to talk about how many angels can dance on a pin, on a head, on the tip of a needle. Interesting. So what this tells us is that at the quantum level, at the molecular level, the parts of you and I that makes up organs and cells, they listen and they eavesdrop on our thoughts. The reason why the secret works and your thoughts and your feelings matter and your words matter is because the universe is conscious. It is, we live in a thinking universe and a feeling universe. When we begin to operate at the conscious level, at the God level, we understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we focus on, how we look at life, and how we speak of life shapes our life. We are deliberate creators. And sometimes we're not deliberate. we are unconscious creators. So at some level, the mirror effect of how we speak and how we think and how we feel is reflecting back to us, ourselves. So when you want to change your reality, we have to begin to reprogram ourselves, and we have to begin to renew our minds to begin to speak a new reality. And this readjusting and refocusing of our intention and attention began to reshape our world and our body. This is why this is important. We have to create a new language. So one of the things that I really appreciate about Reverend Ike is that he put this to some of the tests in some of the most difficult communities and was teaching them how to take control of their reality by taking control of their thoughts, their feelings, and their words. Bob Proctor, one of the great teachers of The Secret, says that the secret, the law of attraction, is really based upon one of the seven laws of Tehuti, and that is the law of vibration. Everything has a vibration. Every organ in our body has a particular unique vibration which gives forth its shape in the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It was a sound, and the Word became flesh. The Hindus' teachers would tell us that the original primordial sound was Om. Well, here's the point, is that when we began to speak and began to see or understand, and when we began to act in new ways, we recreate our world. We recreate our world. We are the creators of our, or at least the co-creators of our reality. Ike was teaching us how to be conscious engineers of our community. So instead of waiting for others to do for us what we could do for ourselves, instead of waiting for the government to pass laws to do for us, he was teaching people how to use their minds, their emotions, and their acts of choice to create a new world, a new community. As Dr. King would call it, the beloved community. That is revolutionary. And I would take it one step further. When people began to work together, like it says, where two or three are gathered together, I am is in the midst, the presence of that creative power. We bring forth, we manifest something on earth, something in our reality that was not there before. This is called synergy, where 1 + 1 does not equal 2. 1 + 1, one person who's awakened and united with another person who is awakened, they create something that neither one of them imagined. It becomes that which is divinely imagined, and it is manifest. That's the power of unity. And that's when we really begin to do magic. That's when we see miracles happen. As it says in the Bible, Paul says, I planted Apollos' water, God gives the increase. This is how we begin. When we begin as some of the other great masters
speak about, when we begin to use our imagination, that's when we step in. That's the mind's eye, just the inner God. It's always there. But many times we don't recognize it, the inner eye. When we begin to see things from a divine perspective, from a Christ perspective, when we stop looking at this spiritual stuff as external beings outside of us and realize that they are inside of us, and that when we operate at that frequency, at that vibrational level, and we unite with people who have a vibrational match, that's when we begin to see miracles and magic happen. A friend of mine asked me a question about The Secret, and they wanted to know, you know, how is it possible that speaking positive, and they tried that, and feeling that they were going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it didn't happen. Why it didn't happen? Many people who try positive thinking and affirmation, they have, you know, been disappointed when it didn't happen in the time period that they wanted to happen. Why is that? Have you ever had that situation where you pray for things? You may have used talismans, you may have used affirmations and prayer, medallions and things like that, and you did not, you know, you wanted $1 million or you wanted $1,000 or whatever, and it didn't happen. Well, what I often tell people to realize is that, number one, because I truly believe that the key to the secret of attraction, law of attraction, is one of the things is that you have to understand this is a spiritual process. It's not like mechanical, you know. It's not mechanical. So I ask, I believe, I receive. No. It is, you are interacting with vibrational forces or beings, higher intelligences, that who have the task of managing the universe. We're talking about spirit beings. We're talking about angels. Okay. And these beings are conscious, and they look at us, and they want a relationship with us, which means that we have to have a vibrational match. There is a different vibrational match for living with tens of dollars versus living and attracting hundreds of dollars versus living and attracting thousands of dollars versus living and attracting $10,000 versus living and attracting $100,000 versus living and attracting millions of dollars and billions of dollars. You have to have a vibrational match, which means that you have to truly have the capacity and the discipline to be able to hold that tune. To be able, there's a different sound, a different harmonics, should I say, for living at the $100,000 level versus living at the $1,000 level. There's a different tune to being able to live at the $1 million level. The question is, can you drink from the cup of what it takes to meet that vibrational match? Have the capacity, because the capacity to hold a glass of water, and the water is the same, it's the same water is the same that's in a 32-ounce container as in a 12-ounce container, same water. But the person whose soul has the capacity to hold without wasting the 12-ounce is not the same as a person who can hold the energy or the capacity of a 32-ounce, and there are larger containers than that. So a part of attraction is your soul, mind, capacity, as well as connection, to be able to hold that energy and not allow it to spill over, not allow it to be more than you can handle. This is why the teachers oftentimes tell us, again, not with that which is beyond your belief, beyond your capacity, but start in something that might be just a slight level above it, but not too above it. So you might want to start to manifest a car parking space. You know, when you go to the store and say, I want a parking space, ask for the most benevolent outcome for a parking space near the entrance. Or start with trying to get, a meal at Burger King or something. I don't know. But the fact is that you have to exercise your faith and your practice in such a way that you begin to expand your capacity, expand your faith. The stuff really works. And the other thing is, it's important. This is why the talisman and the angelic talisman, some of the other talismans that you hear me talk about all the time, the angelic talismans, which many people are having great success with. Congratulations to the young man, or not the young man, he's an actual older man, who attracted through the talisman $1,000 and a $3,000 mattress. Congratulations to you. It made me feel good to know that you did that. And other people who have had great success using some of the products that they have ordered from No Smith Matters, congratulations. That, I like it when I hear what's happened to you in that. The energies are real, and the more and consistent you practice them, the more you increase your knowledge and your relationship with these spirits, the more you will have greater manifestation. I can guarantee you that. To those of you who have worked with Natika, the magical cash book, congratulations to many, because there are people who have shared, they have had tremendous impact in working with me as it relates to the magical cash book. All of this is a part of what I teach in terms of making money magic. Congratulations. I've had my experiences that have been wonderful and great, absolutely amazing, overwhelming. I have seen my faith has had, and my capacity to teach this with absolute certainty has increased. But I want to share that with you. Vanette, I don't know if you're there or not. Are you having people that have any questions or want to comment? If you do, begin to call in, and we can dialogue more about this. There's a passage of scripture that I want to share. It's found in John chapter 15. It's important. Yeah, John 15. Actually, the whole context is verse 1 through 8, but I'm just going to deal with a few of the verses here. It says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And this is in red letters, so this is Christ consciousness speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or he's the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that does not bring forth manifestation, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. But let me explain this. Let me explain this. This is a great metaphor because, you know, we need metaphors, positive metaphors, to help us understand the character of the spiritual world. So in this particular verse, the universe is explained as the relationship between a vine, like a grapevine, the grapes or the branches that bear the grapes, and the caretaker. In this story, or in this illustration, the God is looked upon as, or the universe is looked upon as, wanting productivity. You see, you are not here to simply start in where you started. Started with little, you end with little. No. You and I are here to be productivity, to be productive, to be fertile, to manifest, to do magic. We are here to produce, prosperity, possibility, potentiality, or whatever. We are here to manifest. We are gods. We are creators. So in the context of this particular verse, the Father tends to the vine. The vine is the energy of Christ consciousness. And it says every branch that is, he says, every branch in me, connected in me, that does not bear fruit, that's not productive, he takes away. Now, the illustration is trying to say is that those branches, which is many of us who are not walking in Christ consciousness, who are walking in lack consciousness, who are walking in lower consciousness, he takes away. What that means is he takes the Father, the gardener, takes away for the purpose of cleaning them. So you see, our consciousness needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be raised. It needs to be reprogrammed from the weight of heavy emotions like anger, hate, sadness, depression, fear. It needs to be clean. He takes them away. Okay? And every branch that bears fruit, it says, the universe prunes. Let's stop right there. Let's park right there. Why would the gardener, why would the universe prune a branch that is bearing fruit so it can bear more fruit? So it's not just a matter of you getting caught up in what you have. Well, I'm making $100,000 now. What do I need more? That's lack talk. That's not God talk. You can always go to another level. And this is why you are pruned, so you can go to another level. This is why you go through dark nights of the soul. This is why we have crucibles, because they are the means by which we discover aspects of our consciousness that are keeping us from being able to have greater capacity to go to higher levels. Therefore, we have issues that rise in our relationships, in our money, in our lives. So the universe is pruning, taking off dead weight. So many times when you're going through a dark night of the soul, you can also go through a job loss. You can also go through a divorce. You can also go through a health crisis. And you're thinking, well, God must not, the universe must not be with you. No, the universe is always with you to be more than what you, so that you can begin to ask and receive, seek and find, knock and open doors that you were not at the conscious level to conceive, because you had dead weight, dead issues hanging on to you. Therefore, the universe cut certain people out of your life. Like I said before, if you don't make the decision, your angel will. Therefore, the writer says in this, well, what do I supposed to do? In the vine, the more and more consistently you abide in God's
consciousness, unity consciousness, Christ consciousness, I am consciousness, the more you abide, remain, be consistent, be disciplined, the more it becomes part of your nature. Let me just stop there. My partner, Lynette, on the show.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Right.
No callers in the chat room. Well, online anyway. I did have a question somewhere, but I guess they put their hand down. Just so you guys know, if you have a question, excuse my background noise, if you have a question, please press 1. That will raise your hand and put you in the queue. But as of now, I don't see any callers, so Magus, you can go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that I want to encourage people to the importance, this is why the importance of working consistently with Goddess Fortuna, the angelic talisman, get you an angelic talisman. What I'm doing with these angelic talismans is a little different for many of them. I'm actually connecting these talismans to your birth coordinates, your soul coordinates, as well as through your mother, for the purpose of connecting certain angels to you. And let me explain. And also, I actually have some new talismans out. Some for those who really want to go to another level, it costs a little more money, who want to be celebrities. Those who want to develop their charisma, who want to really, because charisma is very important to be able to attract higher levels of income. You want to go to the $100,000 to the $1 million level, you have to have certain type of charisma in whatever gift or talent that you want to be seen in. If you want to be a celebrity, you have to separate yourself from certain things. There are angels that are at a certain level of consciousness, of money consciousness, you know, higher money, higher relationship with a certain being. But angels help remove blocks that we place around ourselves. They destroy negative karma. A lot of reasons why a lot of people do not reach their potential financially because they have a lot of negative karma. Angels help with that. Many people have difficulty with past situations. And this is where we had a question like that came up at the House of Gnosis last week, where a person had gone through a real negative experience. And they couldn't shake it. And the question was, how does neuro-linguistic programming can help? Can I explain to them that what neuro-linguistic program does, it helps us to speak differently or from a different perspective of an event than we did. We normally look at events that something negative happened, something bad happened. We want to deny it or we want to lash out at it. We blame people for whatever they feel they blocked us from accomplishing. But there's a story in the Bible of a character by the name of Joseph who was sold into slavery by his brothers. They fooled their father, Jacob, and said that the son had been kidnapped by somebody. And actually, they actually did it. And while in Egypt, the character Joseph went through some horrendous experiences, but through each experience that was negative, it led him to a higher position. Ultimately, he became the third in command. Now, we know this is it's either Egyptian history being retold by the Hebrews, or it is basically a story. Either way, as a myth or as a disguised Egyptian story or history, we can learn from it. But anyway, Joseph becomes the third most powerful ruler in Egypt, and he's over the Food and Drug Administration, for lack of a better word. He's caring for the granaries. Just so happened there is a famine in the land. Years have gone by since the original act.
that happened to him by his brothers. And his family now, much older, they have covered the story up to their father about what happened to their brother. But now they're having to come to Egypt looking for food. And guess who's over the food distribution? Their long-lost brother. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Now, at that point in time, he has a choice. He can be angry for what they did to him when he was a little boy, and he can lash out at them and take revenge on them. So he has power now. What is he going to do? Well, eventually they recognize who he is, and they are in terror, knowing that now he can let them starve to death. But this is his take on it. He told them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He became an alchemist. He instead of blaming them, he took power to understand that there was a divine purpose in the tragedy. He retold the story. He didn't change the history. He retold the story with a divine purpose, and he forgave them. That's the meaning of forgiveness. It's not forgetting that it happened. Forgiveness is letting it go by reframing. You know the word I use? Reframing the story. By reframing it and seeing it from a higher angelic divine perspective, he was able to go to another level in his own life and the lives of the world around him. That's the power of healing. That's the power of forgiving. That's the power of grace. All right. Do we have any questions?
Oh, yes, we do. Hold on for 1 second here. All right, we have a caller from 864-356. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Megan Simpanet. This is Omaria from South Carolina. How are you guys this evening?
Doing great.
Hey, Omaria, I'm doing good. How about yourself? Doing well, doing well. Magnus, I have a question and some advisement that I'm going to ask you about, please, sir, if you are able to assist me. Last week, I just won some money on the lottery. This week, I just found out that the engine is dead in my car. So I'm trying to figure out, or maybe I shouldn't be trying to figure it out, what's going on. You know, like, I know I can manifest things and things can happen for me, but it seems like the struggle just continues. And I hear what you're saying that, you know, even when good things happen to you, the universe is going to bring you some trials for you to go through as well so you can continue to grow. So just do you think it may be some energy around me that's affecting this? Or I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on because I'm trying to keep my thoughts positive and everything smooth, but it just continues, like, situations just continue to happen. It's like a cycle.
Okay. It's a possibility that it will require me to, you know, to have a little more personal time to talk to you, get more information. But just on the surface level, yes, it's a possibility that you could have some entities. It could be some attaching spirits, some dark forces that could be in your way. But that's the whole point. But to understand, it does not mean that just because you have an attaching spirit or just because you have a little obstruction coming from a living person in your life that could be a distraction or a thought form or a non-living person who is obstructing and causing obstruction in your life. I don't know. I'm not saying that's what it is. But I'm saying, I want you to understand that just because that exists doesn't mean that you are bad or that you're being punished. It doesn't mean that. It means that you need an opportunity
maybe to clean up your inner space, your outer space of your environment. That's why the talisman that we have on that we're mentioning now is on my Facebook page. I'm talking about the talisman to banish negative living and dead spirits is important. We have to clean our environment. We have to clean our environment. And I don't mean simply with soap and water. I mean energetically. So you might want to consider that as well, to use these talismans. They are talismans that we have, that I know that I have, that I burn, because I'm interacting with people all the time. And I know that there are forces that would like to stop me, and trust me, I have seen them, both living and dead, that want to stop me from teaching this message. You know, so oftentimes what I do is that when I burn a money magnet sigil or talisman, and my goddess Fortuna talisman, or my increased sales talisman, I also burn a removal of bad luck or a banishing of certain spirits that would get in the way. So I do them both. And that might be something that you want to do. And the more you work with these energies that will clean house, and the more you work with these energies that will put energy in your mind and in your house through your altar, the more manifestation you will see. So consider that.
Will do. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Oh, Maria, also, just from another standpoint, too, I've noticed, like, if I get a windfall or something, that it's almost, and then something happens afterwards, I started feeling like maybe I was just being basically been provided before a situation occurred that, say, my angels or my ancestors started coming. So it was like I was kind of given a leg up with a financial blessing because they saw something happening. That could be the case, too.
Gotcha. That's a great point of view to look at it, too. That'll keep my vibes high. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night, Omaria. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. You, too.
All right. Let me check and see if we have any more callers. I mean, my signal is kind of shoddy out here. Give me a second. Okay, we don't have any more callers in the queue, Megan.
Okay.
But I really appreciate all the topics you touched on, like so many things, especially with basically having Lakshmi kind of chase after you, gaining more knowledge and intelligence or what have you, and kind of flipping the script. That was I never heard that put that way before, but it makes so much sense, though. So, yeah, thank you for that for sure.
Well, that's why the having a teacher is so important. You know, people like, for example, the passage that says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to enter the kingdom of heaven. And
mm-hmm.
people use that. They look at that in a way that they say that must be a poverty that's in the Bible against rich people. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the richest people, the Bible promotes some of the most richest people in the land, like Abraham and Solomon and David and people like that. They were very rich people. Jesus was not a poor man. He couldn't be. It's impossible. And so it's not like that's other people's interpretations being forced down churchgoers' minds. But the passage is really telling you is that never identify who you are with what you have. You are more than the possession in your home. You're more than that. When you begin to understand who you are as a divine creative being, and you understand how to connect with the cosmic internet, that's what I was trying to say, and I responded to your post on gratitude, infinite ethics, infinite love and gratitude. That's what I was trying to say, is that when we meet at the Four Corners with Elegba, what you're doing, you're creating a hot spot, a cosmic hot spot where you know, sometimes when you don't have internet and you got your computer, you can go and sit in front of McDonald's and use the internet and everything.
Right.
Well, think of it in terms of you have these ley lines and you have these hot spots, these four-way cross where you can meet Elegba, bring your 415 pennies and other things and place there. You created a portal whereby you can connect spiritually with Elegba, the energy of Elegba, who is a mediator. He's the opener of the way to your ancestors and to the other Orishas. Then I want to tell you, in my money magic class, I go a little more in depth in that. And I teach people how to make those connections, not only with Elegba, but with Hecate. And I teach how to say to a lot of women, you know, who have children, find you a three-way interface, hotspot, and connect with Hecate. It may be even in your house. And connect with her. It's definitely within your soul body. How to connect with us. I connect with Hecate. I'm not a mother. Even though sometimes I may have been called a mother, but not in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that that's why this stuff is so important.
Most definitely, because that was just a recap real quick for those who may not know what you're speaking about. There's a ritual with Papa Legba where you go to a four-way, four corners pretty much, and usually I go to a four-way stop. Usually they're equal. I try to find where they're kind of equal on both sides. And basically 16 pennies, four corners on each, four pennies on each corner. I invoke I channel the energies of each corner, each angel, north, south, east, and west. And then I began speaking. I thank them for allowing me to, for guiding the way for me to speak to Papa Legba. Anyway, so I've been doing this for probably about a year now. And for the past few months, I've noticed that I'll either have more or less pennies at my hand. I know I always count out 16 pennies, and I recount again. Well, on Monday night, and I do this on Mondays, by the way. On Monday night, I noticed I had one extra penny, and I just so happened to create a new space specifically for Papa Legba in my home when I do this ritual, just in case it's raining or something like that. This time I went back and counted again, and I had extra pennies in my hand. So that may mean something different for different people, but I got a big answer to something that I had been questioning or asking about. And so it kind of lets me know, it kind of reaffirms what you just said, that you do form a stronger connection to Papa Legba and with any energy that you're working with. Even when it's raining outside and I'm walking, and I'll mimic the same, no matter what day it is, I'll mimic that same ritual and ask Papa Legba to speak to, or thank Papa Legba for speaking to the energies of rain, wind, thunder, lightning, or whatever, and it'll stop. Like, literally, just stop. So, if you aren't doing that,
I'm
definitely
convinced.
Do that. Yes.
I'm
every time I'm like,
convinced.
Oh, wow, it did work. Thank you, and I'll keep right on going. Because that's something that already exists within us. It's already there. It's just a re-tapping into. So, yeah, thank you for bringing all those up.
Yeah, you're understanding the power that is in you to create sacred time and sacred space. That's
mm-hmm.
why you can actually understand that we are a universe within a universe within a universe within a universe. And so what that means is the four corners, if you look at it, that where we meet a leg bar is at the heart chakra. That's your connection. Your heart is the connection to Elegba. That's in the body, the four corners, the center, where you meet Elegba at the heart. It's also, you can make it within your home. You know, this is called feng shui, where you turn your home into
a living altar where you can meet God at certain places in your home. You can find it in your community. That's what we're doing. We go to a certain spot in the community.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we call the cosmic internet.
It really is.
And
it
so,
really
so I just want to tell people is that, yeah, find me, connect with me, and you will truly enjoy the and benefit from the Making Money Magic class. Say what now?
I said you actually taught me that ritual.
Yeah, that's true. And mm-hmm. right now we have a sale on for our talisman. And if you have an opportunity to get three talismans of your choice, you pick any three, and you get them for $75. Now, it's important to understand that most of our, if we got a package of talismans, they're going to cost at least $150. But right now, they're on sale, three, and you choose which three you want for $75. And that's going to go on until Monday of next week. We do have some new talismans that are out. We have the Charisma Talisman. We have the Celebrity Talisman. That's kind of what I call the mojo, get your mojo back talisman.
Explain that
one
a little bit. You mean sexual mojo?
That's for people. Yeah, that's for people who want to upgrade their charisma. Charisma is very powerful. The charisma. That's where you increase the presence, the power, and the personality within you, and it attacks and attracts to other people. And so I've held that one, hadn't shared that one, because I was a little concerned when the people was, you know, because you can use it to attract people into your life. Both of them. One is exclusive for men, and the other one is for men and or women to take on greater celebrity. And so so you have to call me for that one.
Do you have one specifically for business?
I have two talismans. One is for attracting clients or customers, and the other one is for attracting clients and customers and sales. And
mm-hmm.
so, but you need to call me. They're not on my website. You have to call me, and we'll talk about it. And then, you know, I can. And then what happens is you'll pay through donation at my website, PayPal, and then I will email them to you. And so that's what's out there right now. So I would encourage people to get them while they're on sale right now. And I'm going to go off the sale and go back to regular price. And so
okay.
That's what's available right now.
We have
the money, Making Money Magic class. We have the class. And for those who want to go into spiritual studies, particularly the one about Jesus as myth, Messiah, or mind control, we encourage you to take that one. If you want to break the secret of the Jesus mystery, then you don't have to worry about denying your Christian upbringing or not going to church. You just go there as a more enlightened and advanced Christian. It's Christianity at the heart, at the 8.0 level. How about that?
Mm-hmm. All right, and don't forget the Easy Wealth and Luck Talisman, one of my favorite ones, that when used in conjunction with the Papa Legba ritual on Monday like power. Let me give you a quick testimony about that. I actually used that on Monday as well. And one of the things that I spoke about had to do with my husband's closing. Put it this way, the closer who was adamantly, the lenders were adamantly saying, hey, cannot close for another, till the end of next week. It got bumped up to this week.
That's how fast it is together. So if you're definitely going to do that ritual, make sure you get the Easy Wealth and Luck talisman to go along with it. And if you want to see that and read anything else about Magus's products or its services, go to Gnosis, www.gnosismatters.com, and that's spelled GNOSISMATTERS.com. And Magus's number, if you would like to contact him, is 870-872-1582. And again, that's 870-872-1582. And again, he offers classes as well, consultations to help you connect with your spiritual parents, and a plethora of other things. So on that note, Magus, I think we are almost out of time, so we could end tonight's show with a prayer. I would appreciate that.
Okay, let's do that. Honorable Koa, Israel Yipneka, Zid Ezra, Kavel Renat, Ansa Saganil, Taharanu Nora, Nagabor, Doshe, Yates, Shaker, Kavala Shoran, Rakam Taram, Rakame, Shaker, Tume Gola, Kasim Kadosh, Baptuka, Nahel Arateka, Doshe Gehe, the Amcha Pane. Zofre, Kedusha Teka, Shabbatu Nukubel, Ushma, Takaganu, Yodea, Talamo, Barukshim, Shevo, Mekutan, Leon, Vaye. Till next week, everybody.
All right, have a blessed week. Namaste to you all.
Namaste.